Right, you've got some tools then, you're pretty well equipped, so now you're going into the factory. Can you tell me what departments you went to, Mike?
Well, from the craft school, well, I ended up going into the what it was called the light machine shop, or top shop, and worked there day and night shift on basically a capstan lathe, all those centre lathes also were being used. The foreman there, old Reg Court, was quite a hard person to please, but very good, in fact, in what he taught you, and his assistant, Brian Capener, as well. I did a session there on nights, quite a few sessions on nights, and I remember one instance when we had to make a 100 six-inch studs, or six-inch long studs, of course, you got the first one checked by the inspection, which was okay, but in the meantime, I broke the end off my six-inch rule, and all the rest of the 90-odd were an inch short, which they didn't find very pleasing. But that's just one of those things that went on. And there wasn't as much supervision at night.
Well, there was always a saying, if you never made a mistake, you never made anything. So we'll pass on that one now.
So from there... Oh. From there, I went into the tool room, and I worked there for a while, and also in the heat treatment department. That was quite interesting, but a bit sort of slow and boring. The fitting shops were quite good fun, working with such characters as Tony Barton and Roger Langston and even Brian Gage. Owen Feltham was the foreman. And I found myself working along with these guys Saturdays and Sundays as well to catch up with some of the work. From there, I moved to the electrical department. And this was the production side of the electrical department, for working with Ron Curtis and Godfrey Bodnam. He was my sort of chaperone, really. And the job was to go around the factory making the machinery suitable for running and testing within the factory, and then going to site later on with it to install it correctly electrically. And from there, I moved into the electrical drawing office, which was being run by Ken Hudson in those days. Brian Billingham was assistant. And I worked with all the detailed work for the draftsmen and engineers that were there at the time, Tony Clark, Peter Salter, and even Tommy Blisno, who left quite early on, and John Robinson.
Okay, so you had a pretty good education then, Mike. Tell me, was there a canteen in that time, and where did you make use of it? Can you remember any of the canteen staff who were there?
I can't remember any of the canteen staff. I did use the canteen. There were three canteens in the one, as I understand it. One was the works canteen, which we all went to with the overalls, the blue-collar workers. Then moving into the offices, there was the staff canteen, and then there was the executive staff canteen, as well as others for directors later on. But I remember the one session that we had there one lunchtime when BBC came and did the programme for... Ah, yes, it's come to me now. It was called Workers' Playtime. There was Bert Whedon there playing his guitar, which made it even more exciting and interesting at the time.
Okay, you say you come from Westbury-on-Severn, which is a little way out of the city. Did that prevent you from taking part in any of the sporting activities or social activities that were available there, Mike?
It was a bit of a bugbear, because most of the activities were some little while after work, so one couldn't go all the way back in again and do anything like that. But the activities were football and cricket, and I did become involved with Eric Aberdeen and his tennis club at the time, but not too thoroughly.
Okay, thank you. Okay, your apprenticeship years are now behind you, Mike, and I think by that time National Service was abandoned, wasn't it?
I was eliminated from National Service because of the apprenticeship, and by the time I'd finished it, yes, the National Service had gone. So that was a relief or not, I'm not quite sure, but I think I would like to have gone.
Okay, well, you didn't get the chance, so there we are. How about, can we carry on then with, so you're still at Fielding and Platt, your apprenticeship years are behind you. What happened next, Mike?
Well, I was involved with in the drawing office, which was in a converted house in Baker Street, next door to a pub, which was very convenient, known locally as the Steps. We very often had some lunchtime runs in the bad winter period with Brian Billingham in his blue Commer van with Roger Beard and Godfrey Bodenham. And we used to go tearing off in the snow in this van and all over the countryside. The piping drawing office was on the ground floor, and behind was the piping section next to the pattern shop. There I spent most of my time as a detail draftsman until I left the company in 1966.
Okay. In that time, and during your apprenticeship as well, Mike, did you travel away from the factory at all?
There were several visits away for commissioning and earlier on in installation in the fitting shop. So mechanical installation was involved, but laterally a lot of electrical work and installation was done on site all over the country.
Okay. Now, at some time, I'm not sure whether it was during that period, did metrication come along and sort of upset your way of working?
Metrication caused no end of problems. Even today, I still can't think metrically. But we were issued with little books and charts and all sorts of things to convert stuff to metric. I seem to remember on some of the drawings that metric and imperial were both mentioned. But electrically, it was generally metric anyway, so that didn't affect me.
Okay, I know it certainly affected a lot of people. I think a lot of people tended to think empirically and then put the answer down in the metric units. Over the years you worked there, then Mike, you said you left and then you came back again. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
I left as a detail draftsman or an electrical detail draftsman in 1966, and I joined a company called Clark Brothers in Stroud, who specialised in electrical work and, in fact, did a lot of work for us in cabinet building and so forth whilst at Fielding's. So I joined them for a few years to increase my experiences in the electrical field, and I did various courses with them, and I also did a diploma in electrical engineering. So that brought me up to date with that sort of thing. So I returned to Fielding and Platt in 1969 as an applications engineer. So that enabled me to do the electrical design for the presses and equipment that was then being manufactured. The drawing office then had moved, of course, and was up where the old light machine shop was.
Okay, and then did you say, I think you mentioned that you'd left a second time. Is that correct?
Well, unfortunately, joining as an applications engineer, it was decided to have a big redundancy at Fielding's in 1971. So I was one of those that moved out. And I didn't come back to Fielding's until the very end in 1997. And again, when Fielding's closed down, I was made redundant there.
Okay, so that obviously had experience at working in other companies as well, Mike. How did Fielding and Platt as a company compare to others to work for?
Well, Fielding & Platt was a much easier going company than most of the companies I ever worked for since, who were more more active in promotions and so and that side of things, so that they were more interested in your performance and requirements that than at Fielding's, who were more interested in getting the job done.
Well done. And what about all your colleagues you work with and for? Were they a good bunch?
Oh, they were, without exception, they were all excellent people, and good fun to be with, and ones you would socialise after work with, which is always useful, and there wasn't the backbiting that there seems to be these days.
Okay, and so during all these years then, Mike, were there any sad moments along the way?
Well, the only sad moment I remember of any interest was of a guy called Mordecai, who used to work in the drawing office. And unfortunately, he got killed at the weekend going, and he was a referee, I believe, or something, and he got killed either going or coming back from the football match, which was, that was a bit sad, but other than that, not really.
Okay, and to the other end of the scale, what about your fondest memories, Mike? Is there anything that sticks out particularly?
Well, it always seemed to be just happy, sunny days, and the work was interesting, and the people were great to be with.
When you finally left Fielding's, then Mike, did you work again, or did you retire?
Oh no, I worked again in various industries, some allied to engineering and some not. But I found the engineering training from Fielding's very helpful in working for the ophthalmic industry, which was the engineering side of it, and manufacturing equipment and machinery, which I spent the largest part of my working career doing.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, I think that's you've answered all the questions that we've got down here, so all I can say now is, on behalf of Brian and myself, thank you very, very much for letting us interview you.